I'd like to take a couple moments this evening, just before we continue to pray, to share a couple of thoughts on faith and prayer with you. And in particular tonight, Psalm 116, if you have your Bible with you. I'm reading from the New King James Translation, Psalm 116. And I would like to subtitle this the Psalm of just an honest person who prayed and found the miracle power of God. Now, Father, I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. God, it's by the anointing of your Spirit that your word comes alive in our hearts, that we are given the faith to pray. It's by your Holy Spirit, O God, that we are quickened and made into the people that you have promised that we should be. And so, God, give us hearts to believe you tonight. I pray, Lord, that you quicken your word. For I believe that every word in the Bible has the power to create a universe. So God, when it comes from your mouth, there is no limit to what can be done. Would you help us, Lord, to take the limitations off you tonight? Would you help us to believe that you are God and that you are able to do everything and exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think tonight? Would you set us free, God? Would you touch our homes and our children and our families for your name's sake, oh God, in this generation? Lord, even Lazarus, you waited till he died so that he could be raised from the dead by the power of your speech for the glory and the honor of God. And the scripture tells us that many people came to salvation because of the testimony of Lazarus. God, help us. Give us a testimony in this time, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Even when we have lost heart, we thank you for your faithfulness to quicken us to believe you again. Bless you, God, with all my heart. Oh, Jesus Christ, Son of God, I ask you particularly that your name be glorified again in this generation. God, that you stretch out your hand and do what only you can do. Lord, so that every person alive would have to deal with the reality of who you are. Father, I thank you for this with all my heart, God. Quicken us by your word. Quicken us, God, by your word and by your spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name. Psalm 116, the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Now, you're going to see as we go a little farther into the psalm, it's not that the psalmist was a person of impeccable faith. This person was exactly like you and I are. The times that we struggle, we hit a wall, we wonder, is it possible for God to work in this situation? Or we start succumbing to the lie that perhaps he's found some flaw in us and for some inexplicable reason has decided not to do in us or for us what we clearly see revealed in Scripture. There's no debate about it. If Jesus came to do these things, the question can come into our heart, then why is it so long in happening in my life? And you'll see in the psalm, the psalmist felt this way. And he goes on to say, because he's inclined his ear unto me, therefore I'll call upon him as long as I live. So this psalm is being written after the fact, after the answer came, after the victory was won. He had heard me. And when you read through, you're going to see it's not like it was all faith. There was a point where this psalmist just says, I said all men are liars. Everybody has lied to me. I'm just so sick of the lies. I'm just so sick of people telling me I'm going to be free. I'm so tired of it all. Even in the name of God, people telling me that this is only temporary, it's going to pass. The pains of death surrounded me, verse 3. And the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. There was just such hopelessness around me. I felt like hell had found a home, a lodging place in the vicinity of my life. And even though I could see victory, there were promises of victory in the scripture, all that seemed to come my way is trouble and sorrow. Anybody ever been there? If this is a life of victory, I remember one great evangelist in the early years, I believe it was John Wesley, in the early years before he truly found Christ in the way he ended up knowing him, saying, either this whole Christian thing is a fraud or I've got a hold of the wrong end of the stick. Because everything he was reading didn't seem to be part and parcel of his life. And that can happen to us from time to time. Verse 4 says, then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I implore you. deliver my soul. In other words, I was at the end. There was no hope for me apart from God. And I reached out with, it was no longer going to be God and me are going to do this. It was now just going to be God. There was no me left in this. That's why a little later on it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. When we come to the place of saying, God, if this is going to happen, it's going to be all you. There's going to be no false spark at this altar igniting a fire. It's going to be your life inside of mine. It's going to be your miracle being manifested in me, because there's no chance that I can join you to make anything happen. Gracious is the Lord, verse 5. And righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. He's not offended with your struggle tonight. Not offended by our questions. He's not offended by any of this. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you've delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And that's going to be your testimony tonight, people that are with us online. This is going to be your song. You've delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I called out to you, God, when there was nobody else to call out to. I was in a place where there was no help available for me. There was nothing left that could bring me out of my sorrow and out of my bondage. Verse 9, he says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I'm greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Even though I said things, God, that I shouldn't have said, even though I may have even in my heart accused you in a way that I shouldn't have, yet you still came to me when I cried. And so I want to challenge you tonight, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, God is for you. God is not against you. No matter where you find yourself, no matter how dark the pit that you're in tonight, how deep the bondage, how hopeless your situation to your mind might seem, when you call out to God, he will deliver you. It'll happen in a moment of time, sometimes when you least expect it. And the psalmist says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? In other words, for all that he's done for me, in spite of what I said, in spite of how I felt, in spite of the depth of the struggle, what shall I give back to God? Then he answers his own question in verse 13. For I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. This is what I'm going to give back to God. I'm going to take this salvation that he won for me on the cross, where the Bible says that he took captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, where he promised to make me a new creation in Christ Jesus. He said he would give me a new heart, a new spirit, and a new mind. He said he would raise my life out of the ashes. He would give me beauty for my ashes. He would give me the oil of joy for the garment of heaviness. And he would change me from the inside out and make me a living testimony of who he is. This is what I'm going to give back to God. I'm going to take this promise that God's given to me, and I'm going to call out to him and say, everything you've destined my life to be, oh God, let it be. I'm not going to sell you short. I'm going to call out to you. I'm going to take the cup of salvation, and I'm going to call on your name. And everything that you call me to be, I will be. Sometimes, listen to me online tonight, sometimes God waits until you say that. Sometimes God waits until your prayer is deeper than just set me free from drugs, or deliver me from this, or change me in this area of my life. He waits until your prayer is, God, if I live, I'm going to testify of you. I'm going to give you my future and my life. It will all belong to you. This is what the psalmist meant. Says, this is the only thing I know to give back to God. He has given me this incredible salvation, and I have lived so short of what my inheritance is. I'm not limiting the Holy One of Israel any longer. I'm not telling the God who created this universe, this is how far only you can go in my life. I'm taking away the borders. I'm taking away the boundaries. And I'm saying, God, whatever you want me to be, that's what I will be. Whatever you have for me, that's what I will have. Whatever door you set before me, I will walk through it in the strength of God, and I will believe for the power and the grace, not just to walk through in victory, but to tell others who you are, to tell others what you can do, to tell others what you have done for me, to sing that new song before them. You heard me. Therefore, the psalmist says, I'll call upon you as long as I live. I'm not going to get to a place in my life where I say, this is far enough for me, Lord. As long as I have breath, I'm going to call out. And like the aged psalmist once said, oh God, don't take your power from me, your presence from me, until I have shown this next generation your power, until I have been a demonstration to them of the reality of the fact that those who have the Spirit of God are no longer limited by the weaknesses or even the strengths of their flesh. I thank God for this with all my heart. My brother, my sister, may I challenge you tonight. The hour is dark, the time is short, but God is still God. Nothing has changed with him. He still does what he does. He is still a miracle working God, and he's still able to take you in your weakness, your struggle, your trial, and even your accusations against him and against his servants. He's still able to take you and bring you into such a miraculous power and such a miraculous life that you will stand back in wonderment yourself at who he is, and you won't be able to help but declare before your generation what he has done for you. And that will be your whole testimony. That would be your whole message. You don't have to go to school and study for 15 years. You just say, I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lame, but now I walk. I once was in prison, but now I'm free. I once was bruised and wounded beyond repair, but now I'm whole. That will be your song in this generation. And so I want to challenge you tonight, especially those who are in a place where you feel like there's no hope for you. There's no future for you apart from divine intervention. I want to challenge you tonight to not stop short of what God is able to do in your life. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. Don't limit God. Don't say those words. Can God provide a table in this wilderness? Don't find yourself saying that. Don't limit God. He can do whatever he wants to do. Heather's husband, listen to me tonight in Newfound. I know you're there. Listen to me tonight. You're not called just to be free from drugs. You are an evangelist. That's who you are. That's what God's called you to be. And you say to me tonight, well, everybody in the community, it's a small town. They all know I sold drugs. They all know me as the drug addict, the hopeless drunk on the street corner. Well, that's wonderful. That's going to give you a greater testimony than the people who've never gone there. Who could argue with Lazarus when he sat at the table and said, I was dead, now I live? Who could argue with it? Sometimes people think you have to be raised next to a piano singing Amazing Grace to be a preacher of the gospel. The greatest preachers of the gospel that ever lived, many of them, not all of them, but many of them, had a testimony of God's delivering power. John Newton was a slave trader. John Newton was known for his cruelty of how he treated people. John Newton was so reviled, even by his own crew, he fell overboard and they harpooned him in the lake to bring him back in the ship. But when he came to Christ, he wrote a song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. God gave him a song. We're still singing it today. God will give you a song, and people in your community will begin to sing it. So you say tonight, what shall I do? Take the cup of God's salvation and call out to the name of God. Say, Lord, I will become everything you've called me to be. I will not limit the Holy One of Israel. I want to pray tonight for people who are in that situation, a hopeless situation. But you have, if you can see it tonight, you have an opportunity for an incredible testimony. Praise God. We're going to stop just praying for freedom, and we're going to believe God that we go the whole distance with him to everything that God wants us to be. Why? Because this is a dark age we're living in, and this world needs a testimony of Jesus Christ. Jesus looks at you tonight, sir and ma'am, online, and tells you, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden and should not be hidden any longer by the grace of God. Get some gravel in your gut and stand up. Stand up for what you know is right. Stand up for what you know is true. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.